Welcome to Slice Your Age, episode 62.
Welcome to Slice Your Age, the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Now, here's your host and personal coach, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Dr. Dave, and it's so great to have you back with me. Of course, as you know, this is the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. And I really value you. I know I say this at the beginning of, not every show, but most shows when I remembered, because, you know, if it wasn't for you, I would not be doing this podcast. And because of you, I've got a great show for you today. You'll be rewarded. You're going to love this one. Before we get into it, because I had to have a special guest with me right here, but before we get into it, just a couple really, really quick announcements. I just want to, in case you don't know this, go to sliceyourage.com. And not only can you see all the past shows, all the episodes, you can read my blog, but I've got something up there now, which I think you're really going to like. And it's simply an e-book, and it's called 12 Baby Steps to Your Best Life Ever. Totally free, not charging for it. You just got to go ahead and enter your email address so I send it to you. Click go, and you're there. So you'll get, I think, especially because the new year is coming up right now, and everybody wants to just, everybody wants to know what to do, how to get in the best shape, what do I do, what kind of resolutions, what kind of goals. So I think this is really, really going to help you out. So again, simply go to sliceyourage.com, and you got it. I've given it to you totally for free. It's right there, 12 baby steps. Also, if I can ask you one little tiny favor before we get going, again, I love the energy. I'm so glad that you're here with me listening, but especially for the new year now coming up, if you can go ahead and think of one person, that one special person, whether it's a friend or family member, maybe somebody you work with, it just needs kind of like a little kick in the butt to get going. And maybe they're not sure what to eat. Maybe they're not sure how to work out or how to exercise or meditate or do yoga or be happier. Anybody that's in that category, let them know about Slice Your Age, because I'm here, I'm helping you, and I appreciate you being here, but let's help your friends and your family members. Maybe you got that one person, maybe two, three people that could really use some help. Let them know about Slice Your Age. I will appreciate it, and I will send you extreme positive karma your way. That's a guarantee. So thank you very much in advance for doing that. And without further ado, now she's actually waiting on the other end of the microphone and the other end of the United States. I'd like to bring in my guest. I will tell you a little bit about her. I've known her for a little while, and she's an author. She's a really, really cool woman. They don't come much cooler than her, I will tell you. You'll see when she comes on, you'll see what I mean. She's the author of a book called Chocolate Yoga. And we're going to find out exactly what that means. It's got kind of a subtitle, but I'm not going to tell you what the subtitle is, because that'll give too much away. So let's just say for now, it's called Chocolate Yoga. So her name is actually Margaret Chester. And I think if I'm pretty sure about this, I think she's ready to go on the other end. So Margaret, are you there? And welcome.
Thank you, Dave. I am so ready. I've got my chamomile tea, and I didn't tell you I have a big piece of chocolate sitting here too.
Margaret, I love the chamomile tea part, but the chocolate part, I don't know about that. I think we might have to edit that out. No, just kidding. But depending on what kind of chocolate it is. It's dark chocolate. If it's dark chocolate, fair trade, then I think we're okay.
It's a small piece too. It's 70% pure. Okay. So yeah.
Excellent.
Now that's my afternoon fix.
You've redeemed yourself then. That's fantastic. So it's almost like you should be in the studio here with me, just in case you don't know. And when I say you, I'm talking to you, my listener, not Margaret. Margaret is a you also, but in case you don't know, Margaret is on the other side of the United States. I'm on the East Coast. She right now is in, I believe it's Washington State. Are you in the Seattle area?
We're north of Seattle, about 20 minutes from the Canadian border in Bellingham, Washington. We call it the upper left coast.
The upper left coast, very close to the Canadian border, eh? Do you get into Canada much?
Yes, it's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you get there much? Do you take the drive over the border?
We try to. Since 9/11, we have to. They've gotten much more strict and stringent. We used to go up there for ice cream, you know, at White Rock, just over the border. So things have tightened up. We go up to Whistler. Just the skiing's beautiful in the summer. It's just gorgeous. Bike riding, wine festivals, and Canada as a whole. It's just gorgeous, absolutely drop dead gorgeous. So we try to go there for a few days here and there.
I could see it in the past. Honey, let's go to Canada to get some ice cream. Let's take a little drive into the next country to get some ice cream. Well, listen, I'm going to actually be speaking in Vancouver in March of 2015. So maybe we can figure out a way to even say hello to each other. That would be incredible.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, there's so much to do there. It's fabulous. It's a big international city. The food is fantastic. The people are amazing and very cosmopolitan. And so is Seattle. And Bellingham's a little gem too, but we don't talk about it because it keeps getting chosen as best outdoor place in America. So we like to keep it quiet so no one moves here.
Well, I'm glad you're keeping it quiet because thousands and thousands of people have just heard that from all over the world. Heard you say that Bellingham is one of the greatest places to live in the United States. Hint, hint. If any of you are thinking about moving to the U.S. or if you're in the U.S. and you want to relocate, drive Margaret crazy and move to Bellingham. And there's going to be a tremendous population explosion there. But I'm sure it's a beautiful place. The whole Pacific Northwest is just a beautiful place. And I keep saying to Yoko that we got to get back there and just visit because it's really, really gorgeous.
Right. We're about an hour and a half from Mount Baker Ski Lodges, where actually snowboarding was founded. So they have huge celebration and races up here, and they don't have overnight lodging, but everybody goes up and it's a fantastic ski area.
You are speaking my language. Speaking of speaking my language, I've got this book in front of me right now. I'm holding it and it's called Chocolate Yoga. I don't want to read the subtitle. Well, actually, now that you're on, I will read it because I need some explanation here. It's a great book. I know I got a copy quite some time ago, read it several times, but it's called Chocolate Yoga, a system of yoga techniques for stress and weight management that will nurture your body, mind, and spirit. Now, Margaret, I have spoken to my listeners quite a bit because I'm a big yoga fan. I believe in it. Yoko and I have been doing yoga for quite some time now, and I've tried to get the word out to my listeners that yoga is, like, as far as I'm concerned, it's a game changer. It changes your life, and if you're not doing it, it's hard to really visualize like what you're missing there if you're not doing it. But tell me a little bit about why you wrote this book. What is chocolate yoga? And just can I fill us in a little bit on that?
Well, there's always a story behind a story. And I was teaching yoga and a lot of people would come up to me and say, well, how do you manage your stress and your weight? And I would say, oh, just do yoga. Like, of course. And they would come back a few weeks later and tell me yoga doesn't work. So I started really paying attention. I've been doing yoga since I was 16, and I did it just to save my sanity, and I loved it. I taught myself, and then, of course, yoga is huge now. I mean, when we were doing yoga, there were no mats, no yoga clothes. You know, it was very, very different in the 60s. And so I started a class on yoga for weight management. And out of that came the book. And I wanted a title that people would remember because there's so much yoga out there. And so they could find me easily on the net or on the internet. And so I came up with this idea of chocolate yoga, which, of course, when I tell people, they just crack up. They start laughing and going, so what does that mean? I stand on my head and eat chocolate. You know, it's almost sarcastic. And then that starts the dialogue on yoga and whatever bad or good experience they have or whatever they think it is. So it's a it's a conversation opener.
So is there any connection whatsoever, other than it's catchy, about chocolate itself and your yoga, the type of yoga you're teaching? And I love the fact that you're in your studio right now eating the chocolate as we're talking about chocolate yoga. But is there Is there any connection whatsoever?
I think the connection for me is, you know, as a kid, I always wanted chocolate. That was a treat. It wasn't around. So for me, it's almost like a personal mantra. I can say chocolate yoga and actually smile because it's a feeling. And it's kind of like, just like yoga, when you practice, it's hard to explain to people what happens when your breath connects with your body and your mind. And the closest I can get to it is that runner's high or that perfect ski run. When you're so relaxed, you're so in the zone, you're not thinking about anything, it's just pure pleasure. And that's what I think we're all looking for, at least I am. You know, I don't want to deal with traffic jams and visa bills and, you know, property tax notices. I just want to live this fantastic flowing life. And I think that for me is what yoga is, to stop the chattering in my mind, to stop that knee-jerk reaction that I have to stress or come home after a long day at work and just open the kitchen and start eating in the refrigerator and just eat. So that's what chocolate means to me. And I can actually say the word chocolate yoga and I can feel my body relax. So it's almost like a mantra for me.
Yeah, exactly. I
don't eat as much chocolate anymore because I can feel it. I can go after that feeling without eating a bag of Hershey Kisses or something.
Oh, no. Nobody on my show is allowed to eat a bag of Hershey Kisses. Oh, my God.
All right, then I'm off the show. We can end
We're kicking you right off now. But you said you don't do that anymore. So that's a good thing.
Okay. Well, that was a reaction to stress. You know, woe is me. I work so hard. I'm tired. I need a treat. I'm going to eat a few of whatever and then eat too much, whether it's chips or, you know, smoking cigarettes. Most of us have a go-to, something we go to when we're stressed. And if you can start to break that cycle with your breath, then it kind of cracks the code and you can deal with reality. And I don't need a bag of Hershey Kisses. And to truthfully tell you, I don't know. I can walk right by Hershey Kisses right now.
Right, right. It's funny because
they don't sing to me.
I was at a dinner a couple nights ago, and it was kind of a plant-based dinner where everybody there pretty much was plant, eats a plant-based diet. No, you know, no animal products at all. There's a woman was getting up, got up, and she stood up and she told the, you know, everybody in attendance how well it's worked for her health, and she was naming a bunch of health issues that have gone away since she went plant-based. And then I caught her afterwards when the thing started breaking up. I went up to her because I had a question for her, and it's so funny, she admitted to me that when she's stressed or when a day is not going exactly the way she doesn't want it to go, she like grabs a bag of Hershey's Kisses. That's exactly what she told me, and she'll eat I don't know whether she'll eat a whole bag. So here's this woman that's getting up in front of a whole room saying she's totally plant-based, and then she admits that when things get rough, she's downing Hershey's Kisses. I'm thinking like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, there are several of us out there. What do you think? We're supporting the market there. But, right. But you know, stress is, if you just, I always explain stress for me means pressure, and then sometimes we don't know what to do. So if anyone listening, if you just squeeze your fist right now, Dave, just squeeze your fist.
I'm doing that. Just squeeze both fists?
Yeah, you can do one or the other. And then if you notice, if you're really paying attention, most of us stop breathing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like you hold your breath.
Yep. Well, I'm guilty of that also when I do my yoga. I've got to tell you, because my yoga instructor often, and Sandy, most of my listeners know Sandy because she's been on the show, but Sandy will oftentimes say when we're doing some type of routine or some type of pose, she'll say, and continue to breathe. You got to breathe, Dave. Dave, make sure you're breathing. So Dave, a lot of times, does stop breathing when he's doing things like that. So but you're right, Margaret. When I was clenching my fists like that, I was not breathing. It's true.
Right. And so most of us, I mean, that's what yoga's done. Yoga's probably saved my life because at least I get some breathing during the day. I'm very shallow breathing. I don't breathe deeply. And that's so when you don't use your full capacity of your body, you're shortchanging yourself and not make. And I find when I take deeper breaths, I actually make healthier decisions. So that's how this chocolate yoga has changed for me, is I'm more aware of pressure. I can stop, take a deep breath, and in that pause, before I reach for that bag of kisses, I can go, oh, you know, I'm really pissed at so-and-so, or I need to return that phone call. Why am I walking to the refrigerator when I need to return that phone call? You start to catch yourself in the cycle, and it's absolutely fantastic, because once you start talking with yourself, life becomes easier. It doesn't mean I don't have stress in my life. Believe me, I have plenty of stress in my life. But I can call it what it is faster.
So let's continue to talk about stress, because I think you're striking a chord with a lot of people that are listening. Like you said, you've got stress in your life. I've got stress. Everybody that's living has some type of a stress. Now, is there a difference between good stress and bad stress?
You know, that's a really good question, because it's kind of annoying to me that we use stress as this waste basket word. Like with my friends, sometimes I'll say, oh, we have to do lunch, or how are you? Oh, I'm so stressed. Well, stress is probably good. We used to say in hospice, we'll consider the alternative. You know, like, isn't a little stress good? To tell you the truth, I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning if I didn't have to pee. That's stress, right? I mean, there's good stress. There's weddings and babies and graduations and promotions. And we all know this is, quote, good. But we also know with the holidays coming up, it creates pressure too. So I like to just use the word pressure. Because stress for one person, someone loves to garden. Up here in the Pacific Northwest, there are so many people into gardening and master gardeners. You say the word gardening to me, and I start hyperventilating. I'm just like, I will mow the lawn, but I get no pleasure from digging in the dirt. It doesn't make me a bad person, but it also shows some people that's a total stress reliever to come home from work. It's total stress release. To garden or bake bread, those two things do nothing for me. And it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It just doesn't work for me. And so I think with stress, we have to be really, really careful. And like I said, you know, I was reading the book before you called me up, and I was going, wow, these are really good exercises. You know, I should do these. You know, so I kind of wrote the book for myself to make it a little bit more public with stress and talking about it, just like the whole death and dying movement. So many things. Let's start talking about it, and maybe we can work together and figure this out.
So I'm trying to think what the best thing to do would be, because I know in your book, you basically have like five, it's broken up into like five basic techniques. And I guess that's the, that's the chocolate yoga. So, is there maybe what we should do? Because I'll tell you something, Margaret, one of the most common things, like when I'm talking to people about yoga, and people agree, people say, oh, yeah, I know I need to do yoga. But it's very difficult for me to say, OK, here's exactly what you do. I mean, I'm not a yoga instructor. I believe in it. I've been taking yoga classes forever. And I also practice on my own quite a bit. But it's actually very difficult for me to explain to somebody, OK, here's what you do. So maybe we can take this show and for our listeners, explain if they've got, I think your techniques help with stress management, or as you just said, pressure, or maybe even weight management. Let's fill everybody in and let them know from start to finish what they can do either on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or whatever. And feel free to actually even, like you just did with me, clench, Dave, go ahead and clench your fist. If you want to like have our listeners try something as you're talking them through it, that would be really cool. That would be great. Because my goal at the end of the show is to have anybody that's listening have like a really, really good feel for what they can do, whether it's whether they're home alone, whether they're driving in the car, wherever it may be, have a really good feel. Now they're, and I want them to say, yeah, now I get it. I can do that. Sure. I can definitely do that. So let's see if we can accomplish that during the rest of the show.
That sounds really, really good. I have, I'm stressed all the time. And so that's why I really use all these techniques. I have busy life and crazy work life. But I've found that if the easiest one to do for anybody, I always tell people, if you can breathe, you can do this yoga. And in a lot of yoga classes, I would have people come and I would say, so why are you here? What brings you to yoga? And they'd say, well, my physician sent me, you know. And when they realize it's just tuning into the breath. And actually, the first place to start is just smile. Just right now, just big grin, just smile. And you will find that your face instantly relaxes and people start coming towards you. It's the first stress buster for me is just smile. And it's that big grin and just it changes everything. I've found that I try to practice yoga all day. Just my, I'm doing some stretches right here as we speak. I have my little hand gripper thing, so I'm just releasing stress through my hands. You don't need anything fancy to do this yoga. That's what I love it. You can just, like you were doing earlier, just make two fists and squeeze and just release. So if you inhale and squeeze both fists really, really tight, you can even scrunch up your face. And then on your next exhale, just release. And you'll feel your shoulders getting soft. You can roll your shoulders down from your ears. You can try that right now. And you'll feel your chest open. And when that chest opens, your heart opens, your lungs are happier, and you can breathe. And then maybe you won't eat that bag of Hershey Kisses. You know, so it's... You can use your breath to fine-tune any moment. And that's what I find when I'm going to work in the car. I think the car is the best yoga studio in the world. And you, most of us drive alone to work or we're in the car by ourselves. So you can do all sorts of breathing techniques. You can do a really long inhale, hold it, and then a long exhale. And you can just do that. You can count. You can also drive. There are all sorts of things you can relax just by holding on to that wheel and noting what's coming up. So you're using that second technique, that drishti, and kind of scanning the cars and the trees. And it's you can actually come to work relaxed. I'm sure most of us, including me, have gotten to work or to the next event, and we don't even know how we got there. You know, we're just so stressed and thinking about other things.
I was just going to say, you're totally right. We're not mindful enough. I mean, we leave our houses. A lot of us probably just get into our cars in our garage, drive to work, maybe get into a underground parking lot and get into the office, and maybe hardly even stepped out into the daylight during the day. And then we start to think, well, how did I don't even remember getting to work. So we've got to be more mindful. So totally right about that. Continue. I'm so sorry for cutting you off. You're on a roll. Keep going.
No. That's you know, and we all know we should do yoga. We should breathe. We should meditate. I always find I just sit in the car before I start the car motor. And I just do some of the techniques in the book, start the car, go off, try to, you know, not hit a deer, look for trees and kind of talk to myself, do my breathing. When I get to work, I don't just jump out of the car. I just sit there for about 30 seconds. It doesn't take very long. And it's just these little bits of instant meditation that will add so much to your life and make those healthier choices. Because yoga, for me, is just quieting that chatter that we have going, all that noise between our ears. And I find that it's very, very practical. A lot of people think yoga is a full lotus sitting up on a mountaintop or in retreat. Well, if we all went to retreat, did yoga, Somebody made incredible vegetarian meals. We had massages. Of course we'd be relaxed. Of course we'd lose weight and not have as much stress. It's working in this real day-to-day, messy, juicy, exciting lives that we have that I think is really, really valuable. So there's one of my favorite teachers, I think it's Swami Satchitananda, said this years ago. He said, yoga is not about standing on your head. Yoga is all about standing on your own two feet.
I love that. I love it.
Yes, definitely. Because you can do all this breathing stuff. People think, oh, you have to do yoga. Well, you can do these five techniques, whether you're a runner, a skier, a mom. You can do them in bed. You can do them whatever age, size, body weight. That's what I designed it for, because I wanted to bring yoga to the masses. Like, take that yoga butt image off yoga.
So have we finished the first technique? The first technique would be breathing and being mindful. Breathing.
What? Right. And then breathing, I think for me, what makes my breathing techniques different than a lot of other people is there's a pause. So it's a big inhale as deep as you can and pause just for a sec. And then exhale and pause. And it's almost this pregnant pause where you just slows everything down. You can do it fast or slow. When I get really stressed at work, I do lion's pose. I go into the bathroom, and you'll love this one. I'll see if I can try to do it in real time here. But it is a stress releaser. And lion's pose, I like to do it over the sink just in case I spit or something. It's pretty, I would say, body intensive. But you take a really deep inhale, just as much as you can, and then hold. And then you let out this big, ha, like a lion. You stick out your tongue. And then you can do several of these, and you will probably start laughing. But when I get a really demanding phone call or an issue or dealing with a patient who's just not my cup of tea today, I'll go into the bathroom after I've smiled at them. But I'll do this, what I call lion's pose, and it's in the books. And it's just inhale and then, and you stick your tongue out. You will find it is the best stress buster ever.
Okay, so let me try. Ready? I'm going to do it in real time as well. Ready? Here we go. What do you think?
Did you get your tongue out really?
Let me try the tongue out a little bit more. I had it out, but not. Okay, let me, here we go. Ready? And when I breathe in, am I breathing in through my nose mainly, or what should I be?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So the breath in doesn't really matter.
Technique sensitive.
Okay, here we go. My tongue was all the way out. My tongue was all the way out. Now, do we need to be sitting or standing in any certain position, or anything goes with lion's pose as long as we're doing the breath correctly?
Oh, you can do it anytime. I do it in the car. You know, my husband says, oh, could you call so-and-so and do this? I go, it's between us. The family knows. It's like, really? It's kind of better than some other choices out there.
Exactly.
It kind of says it all. But the other thing, number two, the internal contractions, you can do it right now anytime, is pull that belly button towards your spine. And it pushes up on the diaphragm and actually makes your lungs work a little bit harder and more efficiently. So if you're standing there or sitting there right now, pull that belly button towards the spine. Mm-hmm. You can work your abdominal muscles, and the obliques, and it will really, really start to work on that girdle of muscles, because a lot of us have lower back pain, and it's quite often due to the front. The gut is just loose. And so by really working that belly button towards the spine, you'll start to strengthen the front of the body. And it will also help with the lower back region.
Now, do we do that pretty much on its own, or do we use our hands or fingers to kind of help it along?
Well, you know, the hands they're really good. You don't have to. I mean, I do it in all day long. Mm-hmm. But for lots of us, we don't even know our body parts, you know, our right hip or left hip. And you know, in yoga class, move your right hip. Sometimes I move my left. You know, I'm just not really tuned in if I'm thinking about something else. So you can put your belly, you know, your hand, rest your hand on your belly button right now and just pull it towards your spine. And if you do all kinds of breathing, you can get extra credit for that. But just that motion of tucking the belly button into the spine is really a good strengthener, a gut strengthener.
Fantastic. Anything else with part two?
That's my basic go-to quickie. Gazing points, which is a drishti. There's a lot of Sanskrit words, but I prefer English. And it's really gazing points. So you know how you're out jogging and you see a dog coming up, someone walking their dog. You're making decisions. You're keeping aware of your, you know, you've got your periphery vision. You're going, oh, I got to speed up. I want to get that cross that intersection. Or I'm going to slow down because I just want to jog at the red light. So gazing points are basically helping you move your body and be aware of everything around you. And so it's really important to relax the eyes, soften the eyes. And when you find yourself, you're just kind of casing everything, sort of like a hunter-gatherer. The most important thing about gazing points is just keeping the eyes soft and open. And that old that thought that eyes are the, you know, windows to the soul, I think that's really, really important. So by softening the eyes, looking carefully, gazing softly, you find your life sort of softens a bit. I love that part of yoga and keeping the eyes open. And of course, when you close them, that's another technique too. And when you think of the fourth section of the book is all about postures. And to me, asana, the Sanskrit word, when you look into the root of that word, it actually means comfortable seat. So you can be doing yoga all day by sitting in your chair, sitting comfortably in your recliner, walking, bicycling, chopping vegetables in the kitchen. As long as your body is in alignment and you're comfortable and you're breathing, you're doing yoga, by my definition. And of course, relaxed. That to me, that feeling, that serenity that you come out of after yoga class, really good run, a delicious dinner with friends, that's all yoga. That's rest and relaxation. And I think that's been underrated. Everybody's telling us to relax. So I find if I can do some of these techniques throughout the day, I'm actually more relaxed and making healthier decisions, whether it's in relationships or food choices or what should I do next or returning phone calls. My life works better when I'm tuned in.
So if somebody is listening to this and they're enjoying what you're saying, but they just maybe they want to do things very simply. And do you have like an absolute favorite? If you get one thing out of this episode, I highly recommend that you do blank on a daily basis. What would that one thing be?
I would say, oh, you sure I can only do one?
Okay. Well, let's make it two. Let's have two of your favorite, two of your absolute favorite, or maybe three. Okay. Just your absolute favorite that you like, a takeaway that you say, everybody listening, I if you do this or you do these two things, it's a game changer. And after you do this for several weeks or whatever, you're going to definitely notice a difference in the way you look and feel. What would those be?
Okay. Number one is smile. Mm. It really, really makes a difference. It will change your whole body. It's absolutely amazing. The second thing is all over my book. It's inhale. Pause, exhale, pause, inhale. it's slipping the pause between, everybody says inhale, or when you're stressed, take 10 deep breaths. You can do it in three if you really mindfully inhale, pause, and exhale. It is so simple. It's so cheap. It's with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is just my go-to favorite, is just breathe.
So it's almost like if somebody is every day smiling as much as possible and breathing, you're telling me that they're doing yoga?
Yes, by my definition, well, yes.
I love it.
Definitely.
And I've got to respect your definition, because for how many years have you actually been doing yoga?
Let me see. I'm almost 61, and I've been doing it since I was 16. So I don't do maths too well, but over 45 years.
Yeah, yeah. So if Margaret is saying this, then you've got permission to say that if you're smiling and breathing, the breathing technique that Margaret said, of course, breathe in, deep, pause. That pause is really, really important. That pause is important. And then breathe out. Would it help to use some type of a mantra at all when people are doing these breathing exercises, or not really needed? What do you think?
That's totally, Dave. That's such a personal thing. But I find by just saying the word inhale, I can't even think of my shopping list or what I'm going to do after we talk. I'm so in my inhale. So just the actual word inhale, you can feel it, and pause and exhale. That's a mantra in itself.
Oh, it is, because I've always been taught in my yoga classes or for meditation to use, during the inhale, use the word sat. And then, of course, mm-hmm. when you exhale, mm-hmm. you say nam. So as you're breathing in, it's sat. You're saying this to yourself, of course, and then nam. But then later somebody told me, or I read somewhere, you can simply just say to yourself as a mantra, in and out. And for some reason,
exactly.
Margaret, I in and out, saying in and out works better for me. And I've kind of adapted that as opposed to sat nam. I just say to myself, I say in out, and it really, really works beautifully.
Oh, exactly. And you know, when I go to some of these yoga conferences and they teach you all this, inhale for 5 breaths, exhale for 3, inhale for 6, exhale for 10, I am so lost and confused. I'm like, really? You know, don't complicate my life. That totally stresses me out. So I like the in and out, because that's so doable. And if you want to add things, it's another thing with breathing, is just singing. You know how you sing in the car, in the shower? You're breathing. And most of these exercises, these breathing techniques, singers use them, rock and roll peoples, opera people, church singers. It's all about the breath bringing out this beautiful hum and song. And then I think that's why music is so loved around the world. It's the breath.
What do you say to somebody that's listening to this episode and they're thinking to themselves, or maybe they're saying out loud, I thought I was going to listen to this and I was going to learn all about tree pose and warrior two and, you know, name a whole lot of poses. But she's telling me is all I have to do is smile and breathe and I'm doing yoga. How would you respond to somebody thinking or saying that?
Oh, I get that all the time. I would respond that, you know, yoga is a tip of the iceberg, and the asanas, these postures, were developed so that we would center and quiet our mind. So my joke is, if you can go straight to laughing and singing and smiling, why are you trying to get your foot behind your head? But for some of us, and for years, I tried to get my foot behind my head because it looked cool. But I wasn't breathing. I would hold my breath in lots of the postures. And I see that in yoga classes all the time. We are trying so hard for this perfect picture of what we think yoga is. But if we're not breathing, we're just doing postures. You know, we're not really connected to the posture.
Margaret, I want to ask you a question, and that is, in your book, I remember you said something like, there are many paths up the mountain. And when you say that, what does that actually mean?
That means, you know, I'm not a yoga snob. It means that whatever works for you, I think our personal responsibility is to, life is a buffet, to try Zen, to try skiing, walking, gardening, jogging, running. It's not a one thing fits all. That it's our very personal responsibility to experiment and find what works for us. If green smoothies work for you, great, you know. But I don't think it's anybody's. I think we're desperate for the answers, so we've tried all these things on. It's like trying clothes on. If you find something that fits and a color that makes you feel good, it might be yoga, it might be martial arts, it might be, I don't know, knitting, crocheting. That's what I mean about many paths up the mountain, that one path isn't necessarily better than another path.
I love the way you think. And Margaret, I'd love to have you back so we can continue the conversation. It's just a topic that I think you and I are both really passionate about. We could probably talk yoga. We could talk meditation. We could talk life probably all day, every single day. But for now, unfortunately, our time is kind of up. But before we do go, I just want to make sure we've got a lot of listeners here. And I think there a lot of them are going to want to know how to get their copy of Chocolate Yoga or maybe stay in touch with you. So if somebody wants to get Chocolate Yoga or maybe learn more about you or even contact you, what's the bottom line best way to go ahead and get connected to you and to Chocolate Yoga?
Well, that's why I picked Chocolate Yoga. It's so easy. Just chocolateyoga.com. And there I am. So you can just go on the web and type in www.chocolateyoga.com. I've got my chocolate yoga book and another workbook. You can order it directly through, it's a regular paperback or ebook, or go directly to amazon.com and the books are available.
Well, it doesn't get any easier than that, either amazon.com or chocolateyoga.com. Margaret, I want to thank you so much for taking your time. And I want to ask you a favor and see if we can, you'll agree to continue this conversation again, because, you know, I think we've only hit the tip of the iceberg. And as we both know, there are many paths up the mountain and we probably only took a few today, but we'd like to take a few another time. So would you come back?
Oh, it sounds great. Good walk.
I love it. I love it. But until next time, Margaret, thanks so much. And thank you, my listener, for being with us. Hopefully this is a really, really enjoyable episode. I loved it. I learned a lot. And I'm going to make sure, not that I don't do this, because I try to do this as much as I can, but I'm going to make sure that I'm always smiling 100% of the time. And of course, breathing is very important. So I'm going to be conscious of that, smiling and breathing. And I think I'm going to report back to you, Margaret, and let you know how I do with it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
Thanks so much, Margaret. I will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you for listening to Slice Your Age. You are no longer alone on this journey.
Slice Your Age.